Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF table. If you don't know what PRF stands for, it stands for Possessions, Resources, and Finances. And this is one of your hosts, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Sitting here at the table with me is Mary Ann Williams. We call her around the table Mama. So, Mama, good evening. How are you this evening?
Good evening, my son. I'm doing well, and I want to say a shout out to my PRF family.
Amen, amen, amen. For those who are like us that don't mind speaking on the microphone and those that are part of this family that are behind the scenes making sure things run as smooth as they run. So we are grateful for everybody. As the Bible says, seen and unseen, right? Not dangerous, but we're grateful for the people who are seen and unseen. And so here we are. April 19th, 2018, 8 o'clock. We are about to get into this 30 minutes of really just doing whatever we can do. Our God will allow us to be used as a vessel for Him to be able to bless the people who are listening, not just the ones who are listening right now live, but those who are listening through our Facebook page. PRF Institute is the Facebook page. So if you go to facebook.com/PRF, you'll catch us there. Or those that may be listening to us through our website, PRF Ministry, that's ministry with a Y, PRFministry.org. And Mama, let me just tell you, we are excited.
Okay.
We are excited for some things that God has started putting into place, things He's already done in the spirit realm that we're just catching up to in the natural, not because we've been slowful, but because sometimes we have to do things in the right timing. I would say sometimes, because sometimes we don't have a lot of time to think about stuff. God is like, look, I'm going to do this, and this is what it is. If you're going to get on a train, you're going to get on a train. So, Mama, I'm excited. I hope everybody who's listening can hear it in my voice. But tonight, here we are. We're in Financial Literacy Month. April every year is Financial Literacy Month. And what baffles my mind, I'm not going to go off tonight, Mama, but what baffles my mind is some of y'all are religious. There's some things that you're going to do every year. You're going to celebrate Christmas every year. You're going to celebrate that pagan holiday, Resurrection Sunday for some. You're going to celebrate the annual days, the Usher's Day, the Mama's Day. You're going to do all of those things. You're going to celebrate Black History Month for some of you. But here we have something called Financial Literacy Month all around the country. Corporations are involved in it. And here we are, April the 19th, Mama. And I ain't heard nothing about it. And I'd have been to several churches from the beginning of the month. I'd have been in at least four churches since the beginning of the month. And there's no talk about Financial Literacy Month. Matter of fact, there ain't even no talk about Financial Literacy Week. Matter of fact, it ain't even about a financial literacy day. We can't even get a financial literacy weekend. So that lets me know that maybe this is not what's most important to the organizations that a lot of people are connected to. I get it. But it's important to us because we know what's important to the people. See, we're not disconnected here at the PRF table or the PRF Institute. We're not disconnected from the people. So we know firsthand what's affecting a lot of the people. We may not be able to know everything down, you know, five layers after you pull the onion back, but we know that people are saying, help me, I need some help.
Yes.
Lord, I'm tired of this. Dr. Dunlap, I'm tithing, but it ain't getting me nowhere. All this stuff, right? So this is what God placed in the heart. It's Financial Literacy Month. See, we got to take advantage in the body of Christ. We got to take advantage, Mama, of things that are already out there.
Yes.
You will be so kind to the people that you're serving, not that serving you, but that you're serving, knowing that finances is one of the top three causes for divorce, or top five, depending on what type, you know, what reports you're using or data or research, but we know it's up there. It's one of the couple. That's all I need to know. This finance is one of the issues that goes on within marriages. Finance mm-hmm. is one of the issues when it comes to raising children. Finance is one of the issues when people are trying. I'm going ahead of myself, but we know that finances is an issue.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that if you're not equipped to talk about this, that you should. No, I'm saying leaders, make it accessible to the people. Well, Dr. Dunlap, you know, we don't do that in our church, but, you know, if they want to learn something about finances, you know, it's out there. You can ask Google, ask Siri. Yeah. So we already into it. So let me just address that right now.
Okay.
And again, this is not beating up on anybody. I promise you it's not. But we have to pay attention to the things that are being said. We have to pay attention to the things that we're saying. We have to pay attention to the things that are being communicated to other people. We have to pay attention to what you done soaked up for the last 20 years of your religious life, mama. And here you coming to my church and you bringing that thing that you've been fed for 20 years that wasn't even biblical.
I know.
And then you find out,
right.
Oh my goodness, listen, in the book of Acts, the reason I'm going here is just what the Spirit just threw at me, I guess. But in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, it's amazing because there's this a story of Philip, one of the seven that they commissioned, if you will, in Acts chapter 6. And I'm not going to go through a whole, but if you just pick up at verses 26 and just go to the end of the chapter chapter 8. But one of the things he encounters this Ethiopian eunuch, and this Ethiopian eunuch is sitting up in their carriage, and see, it was the Spirit that sent them. The Spirit said, I need you to just go down there. And that's when he had an encounter. See, you can't expect folk to come to your church to get help with finances. You got to go outside of the church to the folks.
Mm-hmm.
See,
again,
I'm not telling anybody, this is going way off topic, but that's okay. We're not telling anybody that you just go on your own. See, the thing with Philip was the angel of the Lord said to him, go down south.
Yeah.
Go down that road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. Remember, because they was there for the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, right? So by him going out because the Spirit says so, that's when he encountered the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, Spirit may not tell everybody to go. We good with that. But whoever he's got is saying go, I'm just going to encourage you. Please go. Please go.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Bible doesn't even tell us that the Spirit said for him to go today, tomorrow. It just said go. So in absence of another command, with my military mind, listen, Lieutenant Dunlap, I need you to have this report on my desk, and I don't hear nothing else. He ain't say have my report on my desk tomorrow. He ain't say next week. So I'm not going to take it upon myself to say, well, he ain't tell me when it's going to do. I get to it in 2 weeks. I'm going to make haste, oh, Lord, oh, make haste, because see, that's what we want from God. We want God to come to our aid when we want to come to our aid. So we got to be willing to go when the Spirit says go. And one of the things about it, I'm going to skip over a lot of things, not for any reason, just to get to my point right now, because I'm excited about it. The Holy Spirit, so the Spirit told him to go. Then the Holy Spirit, it was the angel of the Lord first, and then the Holy Spirit, right, says to Philip, go walk beside the carriage. Because the eunuch was reading from the book of Isaiah. And the Spirit said, go over.
Mm-hmm.
And then Philip, and my Bible says, Philip ran over. See, sometimes it ain't just good to go. You got to be paying attention, because the Spirit may say, okay, now you done went. Now I need you to go further. So Philip ran over, and he listened to the man. First thing you got to do is listen. He listened to this Ethiopian eunuch who was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And then Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? He's reading from it wasn't a Bible, so let's stop saying that for those of you who are saying it. He wasn't reading the Bible. He's reading from the book of Isaiah, one book out of what we have is 66 today. He's reading part of, out of one book. And Philip said, do you know what you're reading?
Yeah.
He ain't had the whole Bible, mama. He just had one book and ain't understanding.
Look,
how in the world do you expect when people are dealing with financial problems, you say, oh, it's in the Word. Okay, hold on, let me keep going. Then he The man replied to him, "How can I unless somebody instructs me?" And so then, because of that encounter, here he says to Philip, "Come on up here." See, some folk trying to get to a certain place, they can't get to a certain place because the Spirit ain't told them to go nowhere, and the Spirit ain't told them to go nowhere because they never went to the first place he was supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
First place he was told to go was just go. He didn't tell them what was going to happen. He just told them to go. And then he meets the man. Then that's that encounter, that divine encounter. And then he listened. And because he listened, that created that relationship where this eunuch says, "Hold on, come up here. Because, see, you walking, I got some money. You walking, I'm in the car." If you read it, he was in a carriage. And guess what he was not doing? He was a treasurer in Ethiopia. Guess what he was not doing, Mama? He didn't have his hands on the reins.
Right.
He didn't have the little stick that hits the horse on the backside, right? Mm. Talking about giddy up.
Yeah.
No, he was just sitting there. Other folks was driving that ship. But
yeah.
he was reading from the book of Isaiah. The whole thing was he didn't know what he was reading.
Right.
And somebody took the time out because they were following the Spirit. And they was obedient to the Spirit. They say, "Hold on, what's going on? He didn't say, "Look, you're an Ethiopian eunuch. You should know this already."
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say nothing like that. That's not what, because the Bible doesn't say that. So that's what I'm going to say. The Bible just said, and he was honest. He did, look, I'm covering a whole bunch of stuff in a short time. He was honest saying, "I don't know what I'm reading." There's a whole bunch of folk that are illiterate in their finances. I know somebody keep bouncing checks. Somebody I know just keeps bouncing checks, Mama. Keeps bouncing checks. And I'm like, this is why this person, I said this today, I just believe that the reason why this person is in the bigger financial situation is because they don't know how to manage their money. If you don't bounce the check and then you bounce another one 2 weeks ago talking about I forgot, you keep forgetting. That means you need to put something in place so you don't forget. Because it's not acceptable to just keep forgetting because you're messing over somebody else. Because the check that you bounce to that other person, that may have been that money that they needed for their family that week.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. So this thing about financial literacy is not trying to learn how to be rich, not how to learn how to be wealthy. It's about stewardship. So let's learn about some stuff with stewardship. Okay, so I'm going to go here, Mama. In the book of Isaiah, that's what he was reading, right? And it's, you know, it talks about he was led led from like a sheep to the slaughter as a lamb. He's talking about the Messiah, right? He was bruised for transgression, right? He was seeing no justice. He's reading from the book of Isaiah, right? Can I give another? I want to give a scripture tonight from the book of Isaiah.
Okay.
In Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. He was reading out of Isaiah 53. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about tonight. But Isaiah 61 is the one that I want everybody to hear very good. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." That's Isaiah 61, verse 1. Now, I'm going to read another translation, you know, the New Living. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me. See, Philip didn't just go on his own. Something, the angel of the Lord came to him, and then he went.
Yes.
And then the Holy Spirit, which is what the Bible says, the Holy Spirit said, "All right, go over to the camp. Go over there." He was already doing what he was supposed to be doing, but there was something else that needed to be done. He was anointed in that situation. Again, so Isaiah, "For the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed." If you ain't never been bound to finances, what I'm talking about right now don't matter. It don't mean a hill of beans. But if you ever been bound to some debt, if the life done been seem like it's been choked up out of you, if you've been captive and folks don't know you broke, busted, and disgusted, but you're putting up a good front, talking about I'm holding on to my faith, the Lord's going to release you. Well, can you check your credit first? I mean, it's some simple things that sometimes, again, going back to Acts chapter 8, just may not be knowledgeable. I didn't know that about my credit. How do I do that? These are some things. Listen, we're in Financial Literacy Month, and I'm just here to tell you that it is critically important. Again, I'm not putting this on anybody's church, but I'm telling you, if you ain't doing it in your church, shame on you. If you ain't doing it in your church, and you know. See, my thing is, listen, if you are a leader in the house of God and your stuff is straight and you ain't trying to help nobody else to get their stuff straight, that's problematic. That's problematic for me. It may be good with you and all your members, but it's problematic for me. No. What do I look like with knowledge that I won't share? If I have knowledge that I won't share because I'm selfish, the Lord should take it from me. That's why I can't play with this, mama. That's why I can't sit here with all this information, all this data. That's why every so often I'll pop my head up and come out and do a Facebook Live like I did yesterday, and I delete it. I said, everybody who was here wasn't supposed to hear it. If you wasn't here and you ain't click on it when you saw me go live, oh well. Because it's not about ratings. Nah, we need to proclaim liberty to the captives and to open the prisons of those who are physically bound. But we also know that physically bound can also be spiritually bound, can also be mentally bound, can also be financially bound. And so here's why I like Isaiah 61 so much. Let me tell you why, Bob. It's really good.
Okay.
Because again, that's what man calls the Old Testament, right? Book Isaiah, prophet, right? But
yes.
My Savior.
Mm-hmm.
My Savior, Mama, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Guess what he said? He read from. He was in the on the Sabbath day. He was in the in the synagogue. And I love this. This is so good. This will mess folk up in church. Because he said he stood up and they gave him the scroll of Isaiah. They handed it to him, so he unrolled it and he found a place there was written where it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind." That's what he said. I didn't make it up.
That's right.
That's what Jesus said, right? That's what Jesus said. Yeah. And then he goes on. I'm excited about that. Then he goes on, right? Right? Set the oppressed free, proclaim the Lord's favor. Then it said, then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. If you went to church on Sunday morning and your pastor read from one verse and said, "Let's time for the benediction," most religious folk will have a big problem. But look at what Jesus did. And then it goes on to say, and everybody's eyes was fixed on him. Just like, whoa, what? He just gave us that. And we know, Mama, we do know that he was talking about him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here. So what we're doing in the last moments that we have is we're setting up something. This is just what God has given me to. We got to set this thing up. Look, God is saying this, and this is what I know in my spirit. This ain't head knowledge. This is where God has led us. He desires for his people to be financially literate. He desires for people to be financially literate now, Mama, not 5 years from now, not when all hell hits the fan, now. Why is God saying that? Listen, I ain't God, but if he's saying it now, then maybe there's a reason for it for the future.
Future. Mm-hmm.
Maybe the reason that he said it for the future has nothing to do with you, but has something to do with everybody else that comes across your path. Go back to Acts chapter 8.
Yeah.
See, going back to Acts chapter 8, Philip had to have something in him. And I got to say that, see, the Lord is not going to make himself look stupid through you.
That's good. Amen.
He ain't going to make himself look stupid through you.
Ooh,
so here it goes. the Lord is not going to send Marianne to a university and to the physics department, and you ain't been to college, you ain't graduated from high school, and send you to say, hey, I'm here to tutor some students. I just don't believe the Lord is going to do that, especially with you saying the Lord sent me to tutor you. Okay, well, tutoring what? Physics? Okay, well, tell me a little bit about your background. I just love the Lord. Huh? Okay, where'd you get your PhD from, Marianne? PhD? They look like, you don't know what a PhD is? Okay. Where'd you get your doctorate degree? No, I didn't get one of them. Okay, you didn't get a doctorate in math? No. Okay. Or physics? No. Where'd you go graduate school? And they keep breaking that thing down. They're like, well, where'd you go to high school? Were you a child prodigy? They're like, okay, you don't know nothing about physics. Help me out. Why you here? Because the Lord told me to go. I just believe, Mama. Again, I know the Lord can do anything, but I just believe that Philip was already equipped with what he needed on the inside, which is why God, the angel of the Lord, came to him and said, go. And then the Spirit said, go up. What does the Holy Spirit going to tell him to go up, and he don't know nothing about the book of Isaiah? He guessing like you. I don't know what this means. I don't know what it means either. And they out here on the road. the God,
you know, just like Jesus, you know, he equipped his, I was thinking the other day how Jesus equipped his apostles. You know, they had to learn. If we don't have any, I mean, our experience is what we have, the knowledge, you know, and the Lord said, you know, in Proverbs, the word says, talking about knowledge, wisdom. You know, first he says you get knowledge, because of that knowledge in the area that you say, I want to teach physics. Well, first I would need a tutor in math. See, so if this is what God wants me to do, he's going to, like the Holy Spirit's going to lead and do it in order. But if I have problems in math, God has many people out there that he can send, you know, and I was going to say, getting back to Proverbs, you know, it's stated that the first is knowledge. See, knowledge.
Yeah, the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. But the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. And, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Yes, that's it.
Mm-hmm. And that fear is a reverential fear. That's not that boogeyman fear. That's that reverential fear. Yeah. It's like, you know what? This is how the Lord says, Ty, well, you know what? I reverence God so much that I'm going to do it like this. And then I have to say, well, you know what? I ain't growing nothing, so Lord, tell me how to do this. Right? See, that's what I'm getting to today, because one of the things that I posted was, if you're tired of this financial rat race, tired of this poverty hamster wheel, then this is where you need to be. You need to be at the table, not just on Thursday, but you need to be connecting with us, so that we can help you not run this financial rat race. Because the truth of the matter is, in a race, only one person can be a winner. Only one person. And there are no second-class citizens in the kingdom.
Amen.
So what I'm seeing is people are running this race. You see, it's a difference between a race and a journey. Races, you just moving, boom, trying to help me get to the finish line. You ain't caring about how many folk you are knocked down. You don't care about if you done veered off the path and then cheated and come back, long as you get to the end, because it's a race.
That's right.
But on this journey called life, it's something different. It's, you know what? Sometimes I got to slow down on the journey. Sometimes there's some bumps in the road on the journey. And it's for our benefit. It ain't always because of the devil. It ain't always because of people's flesh. It's because our benefit. And another thing I said was, are you tired of this poverty hamster? I'm not on Facebook and social media like I used to. Thank the Lord that I'm not, because I done got to deal with a whole bunch of foolishness coming into my mind, right? Because once you see it and read it, you can't just like, oh, I ain't see that. Pastor such and such said this stupid thing, or sister such and such said this crazy thing. You ain't got to deal with that. But what we know, Mama, this is what we know, that there are a lot of people that are constantly in this cycle. I said this earlier. All the times as people experience the challenges of sometimes these one-time situations, sometimes as people experience a cycle of socioeconomic depressions and structures and systematic isms, right? Isms, you know, you can add whatever you want to in front of the ism. These isms that affect housing, they affect employment, they affect advancement, they affect educational opportunities. Or what about this? What about generational poverty? Be it immediate or you know, like your next generation or second level generation going up, right? Like your father, your mm-hmm. grandfather, your parents, your grandparents.
Yeah.
Be it one, either one of those that failed to leave you a legacy. Or watch this. Knowing right. that you ain't done what you need to do. And your family going to be screaming out from the title of the book, "Don't leave me like this."
Yes. Yes.
God is like, listen, I got a way that I can, I'm trying to communicate to you so that you can get off this hamster wheel, that you can just say, you know what, I ain't running that race no more. So many folk are running a debt-free race. And the truth of the matter is, most people behind, they're going to never get to be debt-free. So what are you doing? You're going to keep running the race that you ain't going to ever get to. Well, hold on, Dr. Dunlap. Let's hold on for a minute. Hold on for a minute. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I got you, my brothers and my sisters. You can. But I tell you what, if you decide that you're going to walk across I-95 with a blindfold on at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and say, I'm going to get to the other side through Christ, them cars ain't going to stop. One of them going to hit you.
Yes.
One of them going to hit you. One of them going to hit you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because there's wisdom that is needed. And God is like, listen, God has laid some stuff out there for you. So I'm not telling you to push your faith aside, but there's some wisdom that I need you to operate so I can get you off the hamster wheel. See, God is not going to push you off the hamster wheel. You're going to keep running on it. It's going to keep going in circles. There has to be a different force that has to take effect in order for somebody to get off the hamster wheel. And for everybody, it may not be just jumping off the hamster wheel. It may be stop running as fast until it slows down. Because the truth of the matter is, if you ever been on a treadmill and you just do something like I did when I was away a couple months ago, I'm on the treadmill, and I wanted to be smart, Mama. And I'm getting a little warm because, you know, I'm getting my exercise on the treadmill. And I decided that I was just going to hurry up and, you know, and pull the T-shirt that I had off. I had another little shirt underneath, right, tank top thing. I decided I was going to hurry up and just pull that over my head real quick. Man, I promise you, almost broke my doggone neck. I said, how in the world so quick?
No.
But if it wasn't moving fast at all, Mama, then the truth of the matter is, it may have worked. But as fast as I was running on that thing, I was like, I lost all my footing. So, again, what we're saying, and again, we're going to talk about some stuff next week. We're done for tonight, but we're going to talk about some things next week. Next week, we're going to deal with some real spiritual, practical application. Call it spaclication. We're going to really deal with a couple of things that are going to be really, really simple. They're going to be real simple keys, Mama, that everybody can use. Because the truth of the matter is, instead of just saying, listen, I want to come, I want to learn all this, God said, I know there's a couple things, and this is what he's saying right now, there's a couple things I need for you to do if you want to get out that situation. But if you do those things, then you can hold me accountable to my word. So, listen, Mama, that's it.
Yes.
We're going to talk to everybody next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This was good. This may be a keeper. I will tell you tomorrow, today is Thursday. Tomorrow is the third Friday, and we know that we have Kimberly Salas at 2 p.m. For your health is your wealth. So just call back at this same number, 347-215-7934, and she will be on at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We love you. Go check us out on the website, prfministry.org, or check us out on Facebook, and let's keep some of these conversations going. Mama, we love you, and God bless you. God bless you.
Me too.
Thank y'all.